Thank you very, very much. We want to look again this morning. I believe I misled Murray on this matter of Romans chapter 14. I was looking at it and I believe that we didn't quite complete Romans chapter 13. So shall we turn our Bible, please, this morning to Romans 13. We're going to read from verses 11 down to the end of the chapter, but we're primarily going to be concerned with verse 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. This morning, as we have already suggested, we'd like to look at these verses. Particularly, we just want to refresh our memories for a moment or two, for a few minutes, of what these verses, verses 11 down to 14, but primarily we want to look at verse 14. Verse 11 in Romans 13 is bringing into us a very solemn appeal at the very commencement, and that is knowing the time. Knowing the time. It's very important that we know the time. Not the time it is right now in the clock, but knowing the present age, the present time in God's program. We know this, that God's program is drawing very close to a close. We are living in the last days insofar as the Word of God is concerned. And the Word of God has made it very clear to us how that the cycle of time in God's program is drawing very close to being finished. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Rome. He's saying it's very important that each of us know what time it is. And knowing that, it is high time. It is high time that we become aware of something, and that is to be aware of the danger of sleeping in these last and closing days of God's grace. Sleep suggests actually to us the thought of forgetfulness of the Lord, while being awake suggests readiness and responsibility. Sleep suggests to us that there is a grave danger for a child of God to be asleep insofar as the things of God are concerned, and to see how important the last days are, and that we had come into adjustment for us. But then in verse 11 also, he says something to us that we just want you to notice very briefly. There's a clear explanation of this, of the fact of its high time. Because notice it says, to awake out of sleep for now. For right now, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And salvation here has in view, as we have suggested on many occasions in the book of Romans, it has to do with the past, it has to do with the present, and it has to do with the future. Our past, insofar as our salvation is concerned, the Lord Jesus has completed the work forever in relation to our salvation. But for the present, God is continuously saving us day by day from ourselves and from the sin that surrounds us. And God's salvation has to do with the future. For one of these days, He's going to take us out of this scene and He's going to save us from every area of our life. Not only our soul, not only our body insofar as keeping us from sin, but he's going to completely save us, and that is, he's going to take us home to heaven. And so this is what he has in view here, the fact of salvation in its completeness. But then there's a wondrous expectation in verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day of the Lord's appearing is near, he's saying. Now then, therefore, as believers in the Lord Jesus, there's three things I want you to notice in this verse. I want you to notice them. I'm not going to develop them because I think we did this some time ago. I want you to notice that there's a threefold way in which he's exhorting us to a life of godliness. Let us cast off. Let us put on. And let us walk. Three things here. Everything characteristic of darkness is to be laid aside. Everything of darkness in the child of God's life. You see, anything of an unseemly behavior in the light of the great event of the Lord's coming. Why? Beloved saints of God, we're going to look at this to some degree in the next chapter as we deal with it, but I want you to notice, just glance your eye across to the next chapter, and I want you to notice, for it says for we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. We must all, because judge nothing before the time. Verse 12 is the verse I want you to notice. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's the first event after the Lord Jesus takes us home to glory. After the Lord Jesus comes, the first great event in the program of God is to examine every child of God, how you've lived since you've been saved. If you're really saved here this morning, if you really know the Lord, every minute of your life is going to be examined. Every minute. Every second is going to be examined. Not for your sins. Thank God for that. My sins, not in part but the whole, has been nailed to the cross. But your life. Your life. And so he's saying here, the night is far spent. That means the night of the closing days of God's grace. So let's cast off the works of darkness. Everything that relates to darkness. And then let us put on the armor of light. And we're going to deal with that a little later in relation to verse 14. Let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting. And here we have six sins here mentioned. There are three classes of two kinds. And again, we're going to just quickly go over them. First of all, there's intemperance, rioting, and drunkenness. Should never, never be part of the child of God's life. Public sins, riotness. Rioting and drunkenness, intemperance. Intemperance in the life of the child of God should not be characteristic of that child of God. If we're really saved, there should be a life of discipline in the life of the child of God. I can't develop that now in time. I want you to notice the second pair of sins with me, please. Not in chambering and wantonness. That is relation to particularly impurity. Chambering and wantonness is private sins. How we act in the closet. How we act not when we're at church, not when we're at the chapel, but how we act in the home. How we act when we're out of the home. How we act on the job. You see, more particularly these hidden things in our lives. And then the third thing is, notice it says, not in strife and envy, These are personal and social sins. You see, strife and envy. The climax of this is strife and envy is very significant, and I want you to notice something. That there shouldn't be anything in our lives that would cause strife among the people of God. And there is nothing that God wants more than unity. And then we come to that in the next chapter, particularly. But you see, it's licentiousness and envy should be put on the same level. Isn't that amazing? Licentiousness. Things of immoral nature and the fact of hidden things, envy. You see, God's classification of sins differ from man's. And now we come to verse 14, which I want to dwell with this, the rest of the morning. Here we see God's complete provision now for the child of God. You see, the true secret of the Christian life is first stated positively and then negatively. Now notice, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof. Positively, the Christian is to put on Christ as a garment. He is to have the soul, true soul's clothing, the Lord Jesus. And that's to be very, very clear. That should mark every one of us who are saved by grace this morning. Negatively, no forethought is to be given to the sinful nature that we have. You see, there's to be no preoccupation of mind with anything except with Christ. Our mind is to be filled with the Lord Jesus. You see, there's a twofold method of victory here. You see, we're not to fight in our own strength. And oh, what a pitiful thing this is often in the Christian life. The flesh here is referred to as the seat of sin, as in the previous chapters that we have looked at. And no provision is to be made for it. You see, there are two particular pictures we have here in this passage. First, the word clothed. And then it says as well to put on, which is clothed, or to have an armor. The armor of light in verse 12, the end of it. So we have the soul's attire here. This should be depictive or picture us as we walk about this scene. And here we see it's figuratively, it's putting on. And it's frequently found in many scriptures. Let's look at verse 14, as we look at verse 14, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a simple act, but it's an all-embracing a matter of faith. We to accept and appropriate Him, our Lord Jesus. You see, as we have suggested before, the completeness of our salvation, past, present, and future, has been all wonderfully provided for us in the cross. I love that hymn that our sister Mrs. Huntington sang for us this morning about Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, Calvary covers it all. All our sin and all its woe. Calvary covers everything. There's not a stain upon the person who comes and puts their implicit and holy faith in the Lord Jesus. For we are all children of God by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice with us this morning in this putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. That's over to that couple of books just beyond, 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. But we want to stop at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to notice, please, with me. It says in verse 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness," or holiness of truth. So here we have to put on the new man. And this is a statement of fact. We have accepted Christ. We then have therefore have put off the unregenerated life. That is the old life. The old self. Everything we were in Adam is to be put aside and to put on our new man. Just keep your finger in that verse for a moment and turn with me over to the next two books, Colossians chapter 3. And notice, please, with me, in Colossians chapter 3, another verse that's similar to this. Now notice, verse 10 of Colossians 3, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And so you see, when now I have the Lord Jesus Christ, God clothes me. He clothes me in a perfect righteousness in Christ. God no longer sees me in my sins. He sees me in Christ. That doesn't mean I never sin again. But he sees me completely in Christ. No longer are my sins exposed to him. And that's why we said that a moment ago, Calvary covers it all. And you see, as we look at this chapter, then we see that we're to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that we were now recreated. But you know, not only that, when we put on Christ, then there's to be a Christ-likeness in my life. That's in verse 12, please, of Colossians 3. Put on therefore. So it's another put on. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. You see, kindness. This is what the Christ in me is to be seen and shines out of my life. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Even if any man have a quarrel or have a disagreement, or a complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And you see, the Christ who died is the Christ who lives in me. And he gives the grace within this for us to do this, is to put on the elect of God, chosen of God. We're consecrated for God. We're to pick that. Was often we're frightened of that word holy. But you see, we're elect in verse 12. We're holy in verse 12. But we're beloved in verse 12 as well. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And beloved, we're loved by God. And you see, This is what the Lord is saying to us as we look into the subject of put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So clear to us. But then, as well, he says to us, we're to put on the Christian armor. And we haven't time to look at it, but if you want to look at it at home, as we look at as we look at this portion of the Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, we see we're to put on the whole armor of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, He speaks of again putting on the the armor of God. There's no foe can really touch us if we're clothed in His armor. Now let's, for a moment or to the next few minutes, look at this soul's armor. We've looked at, to some degree, the light. You see, there are three different ideas connected with the matter of the word armor. There are three foes. We have a threefold foe as a child of God: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And beloved saints of God, this is why God is looking at us, as we have studied this in our second epistle to Timothy on other Thursday nights. God looks at us as soldiers. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he might choose him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And in a soldier's life there's discipline. And believe me, if there's no discipline, if you're not listening to the orders of the commanding officer, I can tell you one thing, I'll know where you'll end up. You'll end up, we used to say when I was in the army, in the hoosegow. I don't know what, that just simply meant you were in the detention. If you weren't listening to the commanding officer, in the mercy of God, God doesn't deal with us like that. But He wants us to see that our life is to be a life of discipline. There has to be this if we're going to live for God. So we have the armor of righteousness first off. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is part of the provision for the child of God. You see, God has made perfect provision, and make no provision for the flesh, but He has made provision for us as children of God. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7. Actually, we're breaking into something that's very important, but I want you to look at verse 7 particularly. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. This seems to be the protection against the world. I think on one hand the world would tempt us, for us believers, to despair. I think there's times when the child of God feels the need of the fact that they are really are down. We all, there's times when we all are like this. And the world would love to see, you see, the world loves, as you begin to look on the success of the ungodly, you're going to be downhearted. You're going to be in despair. Why? Because God's not finished yet. If we were to look at Psalm 73, we haven't time now, but we see there David was looking at the fatness of the ungodly and comparing it to the child of God who often has difficulty. And you see, one of the ways in which the child of God can be protected against the world is the armor of righteousness on the right hand and upon the left. You see, often as we look at this a portion of the scripture, we see how that in this area that the armor of righteousness comes because whatever that has been passed, the Lord is my righteousness in it all. On the other hand, he may indeed try, the enemy may try the believer to bring him to despair and despise often his training. Just for a moment, keep your finger in that verse in 2 Corinthians for a second. Will you turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 12. Just I want you to quickly look at with me Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to notice something.
In Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord begins to have us to see that where we're looking is vital in our Christian life. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Now remember this, beloved saints of God, the Lord Jesus, the life of the child of God, if we're going to be following him, then we can expect one thing, and that is definitely difficulty, trial. We're serving a rejected Christ. Not a popular Christ. And I want you to notice what the antidote to the problem, to the matter of the shame of the cross. Verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary. Ah, and here's where often ye be weary and faint. And that's possible for us as children of God. We miss that we're serving a rejected Christ and we begin to faint. But then I want you to notice as well, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, but ye have forgotten. There's another thing that happens, a child of God, we begin to forget. You've forgotten he who speaks unto you as unto children. You forget. Isn't it amazing how we forget? We're talking about the Lord's Supper this morning, and our brother Murray was saying, you know, one of the amazing things to me is how people can say, I can't get up in the morning for 9:30. I can't get up. I ask the question, what if the Lord Jesus hadn't got up the hill called Calvary? You know, beloved saints of God, we forget. Oh, I want to ask the question, did you remember this morning the pit from which you've been dug? The godless, Christless grave that you've been taken out of. Oh, how easy for you and I to forget his love. How easy it is for you and I to forget how we've been delivered from the snare of the fowler. How easy it is for you and I to forget. Oh, I'm not condemning you for this. I have forgotten many times. But he's never forgotten me. He's never forgotten me. You see, I'm engraved in the palm of his hands. He's never forgotten. Yes, to despise, there's a danger. I haven't time to dwell in this whole portion, but notice what there was something else in this portion of Hebrews 12 and 5, and he says, my son, despise not the training. That word chastening isn't beating. That word is training. Despise not the training of the Lord, nor faint. You can despise. Again comes the word faint. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he trains. Whatever circumstance you may be going through, beloved child of God, this morning, God has a training program for you. There's not one single shaft can touch you unless the God of love and grace sees fit. His hand may be heavy sometimes upon you. Do you ask him, Lord, why? Not why is the hand heavy upon me, but Lord, show me why, so that I can be yielded to your word and yielded to your life for me, yielded to your purposes, yielded to your plan. As this is, you see, this is God's method. when thou art rebuked of him. The Lord our righteousness. You see, the ones we begin to despise and to be content with the low standard. You see, the devil wants us to lower the standard of our life. God only knows how all of us. There's such a danger today for us to, we're living in the world, and surely we don't want to be of the world, but I'm afraid that some of it rubs off on us. And we begin to lower the standard of God's holiness and godliness and Christ's likeness. And the result? Well, you see, we're playing into the hands of the enemy. You see, he's our righteousness for our sanctification. No wonder the Lord, the Apostle Paul said, on the right hand or to the left, there is going to be no question, you're going to be attacked. Whether it's the right hand or to the left. But I want you to notice with me again back to Romans chapter 12, chapter 13 again, just for a second. And I want you to notice with me verse 12, just for a second. It's the armor of light there. And this has to do with my flesh. All the lower animals, every lower animal in God's kingdom of his animals, they struggle against protection. You think of the beautiful little deer. We think of the elk. We think of the partridge. I don't know if you like to watch television, like to watch the program of the National Geographic that relates to the animals. I love to watch and to see how God has created, and certain things, you see, they need protection. And you see, often God has made protection for them, and they're exposed. And here it's the armor of light. And oh, how we need the light of sincerity, which protects us against the sin, the real deceits of the flesh. I don't know about you, but I find that my heart, the older I get, the more deceitful it becomes. At least it becomes to me. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the natural man in you. That's the tendency that you have in you, no matter how long you've been saved, if you're saved 5 minutes, or 5 days, or 5 years, or 50. It will never be any different. Make no provision for the flesh. The flesh is as rotten in me this morning as it was the day God saved me. There is no difference. One bit. You see, the light of purity that God brings and shines in my life is to help me against the defilement of the world and the flesh. The light of love that we're talking about this morning at the Lord's table against any delights that I would have in my flesh. God only knows there's lots of that. God has provided me the light of joy against any despair. And so you see how that God has given us the armor of light to shine into our hearts. But we must be equipping ourselves by the Word of God. If we repetitiously, continuously, and consistently endeavor to have you personally look into the Word of God for yourself, there is no way in which you or I can battle the enemy except having his Word. There's no way. Well, time is almost gone, and I want to just for a moment show you one other armor that we have, and it's I made reference to it a few minutes ago. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This seems to me to be against the armor of God, seems to be against the devil and his works. And they can be only overcome by the work of God. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Christ in you. You see, his wiles can be only overcome by the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God can only be found in his word. And the application of the word of God to you in a moral way. The application, not only just the fact of reading it, but praying and applying it day by day to your life. You see, Christ has become unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Thus our threefold enemy is now is more than met by the armor of God. And we can't take time to deal with this whole armor, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, verse 12, Ephesians 6 says, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. And now he describes the armor. And you see, it's only as we apply this. We see how often defeat comes because we're not using the armor of righteousness. We're not using the armor of light. We're not using the armor of God. And you see, there's problems in our lives. And we wonder why. Oh, to get back. Oh, to get into the, you see, to make no provision for the flesh. To put, verse 14 says, let's remember, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You see, as we look at this, oh, to be able to appropriate him and to put him between us and our foes. You see, unless there's contact with Christ, unless there's committal to Christ, unless there's control by Christ, then and then alone we see the problems becoming greater and greater. You see how vital it is to have to put on Christ, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make no provision for the flesh, to obey it in the lust thereof. To put on as elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy. You know, beloved saints of God, and I look out in the audience this morning, and I look at that verse, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel, a complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And many a problem faces the child of God this morning because we haven't learned to forgive. I'm going to repeat this. Many, many problems that exist among God's people this morning exist, and they become definite impediments because they have not learned to forgive. They haven't understood what God's full, complete forgiveness is. And until we understand that, then we can never understand how to forgive others. And until we learn how to forgive others, we're unable to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's absolutely basic to all else. To all else. Absolutely basic. And if we, beloved saints of God this morning, are finding problems and impediments in our lives, maybe we should have a look. Lord, do I understand really your love and forgiveness? Do I understand it's complete and full? Do I understand that you love me no matter what? And of all things that should do, it should drive us to our knees and humble us to think that God, so great, should love such an unworthy person as I, and yet continue to love me, continue to care for me, continue to love, and on, no change does that love it be. And all when I do, when I understand it's unqualified, then God says, look, even as Christ forgave you, and forgave you, and forgave me, even so we are to do with others. That's basic. That's where real growth for God begins. And there can be really, honestly, no real grace, because God gives grace unto only the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God bless his word. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ. God give us all grace, not only you as an audience and as a congregation, but me as well, all of us. Oh, to learn this and to make no provision for the flesh, to obey it in the lust thereof. God bless his word to your hearts. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, thy love and forgiveness is beyond our comprehension. No change, Jehovah knows. Thy love is constant, unqualified, unending, continuous, never changes. And oh, how we thank thee for this. Oh, to have and understand what that love is. And Grandfather, we pray that that is to be shining out of our life, that Christ-likeness of forgiveness, to have the beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Oh, grant, Lord, we pray that this might indeed be depictive of our lives as we face the enemy day by day with the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left, the armor of light and the armor of God. Grant it, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.